Live from 49ers headquarters in Santa Clara, California, this is 49ers Radio with your host, Taylor Price.
Hey friends, it's time for another podcast. We have Peter Schrager, who has a podcast of his own. He's a senior national writer for Fox Sports. You can check him out on iTunes and SoundCloud. The Peter Schrager podcast, always a good time. I recommend it for you football fans. Peter, first off, we want to get your hot take on who was best dressed at the Met Gala last night.
Hot take. I saw Zayn from One Direction was dressed like a robot. That was big news in New York.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. I live in New York, and that thing goes on, and it's in the Upper East Side or Upper West Side, and it's as if it happened in Mars. I had no idea it was going on until this morning.
I wanted to keep you on your toes there with the off-the-cuff question. I thought it was cool what Beyonce was wearing. She's coming out here to Levi's Stadium. I actually picked up tickets. I'm being a good boyfriend, taking my girl to the Beyonce concert. So
that's very nice of you.
We have you on the phone here really to talk about the 49ers draft. You were so kind to give Trent Baalke and his crew an A-. Not quite an A, but you wrote here that you love the 49ers draft despite a complete lack of flash and or sizzle. We need to get tougher and bigger up front. And that's what they did with the first-round picks, with DeForest Buckner at 7 and traded back in to get Joshua Garnett at 28. Your thoughts on those two big boys coming into town?
Yeah, it depends how you value Garnett. But if you think he's the best run-blocking guard in the draft and you don't think he was going to be sitting there in your second-round pick, which I think was probably 37 or 38, then go and get the guy. I mean, that's what it is in the draft. I gave the Rams an A. I gave the Eagles an A. If you have a guy that you want to get, and the Cowboys included, then go get him. And that's what the 49ers did with Josh Garnett. You know, the history with Stanford offensive linemen, I mean, you could say what you want about Jonathan Martin not being, you know, the star that they thought he might be in the NFL after being a high draft pick in the second round. But other than that, I think David DeCastro's had a nice career. I think Andrews Pete played well for the Saints. And I think every player is different. So Stanford runs that I form up the gut, David Shaw football, and, you know, Garnett is viewed very, very highly around the league as an offensive guard. It's what they needed, and they got him. I thought the offensive line in San Francisco was bad last year. This gets them tougher. And then Buckner to me is a dream for a 49ers fan. If Buckner or Bosa were to fall to 7, I was going to say that's an A-plus for this team, because you didn't have that defensive end or that defensive line pressure that you needed last year. And Buckner to me was a better player for this fit than Bosa. So things shake out the way they do. Laramie Tunsil falls out of the first top 10, and Ezekiel Elliott goes, and things get wacky, and DeForest Buckner, who I thought was the best defensive player in this draft, goes to number 7.
Yeah, I like those two picks, and we just learned a little bit about Joshua Garnett, his ability to eat 7 20-ounce pieces of prime rib.
Is that right? I think he also, like, majored in, like, like astro engineering. I don't even know if that's a real thing, but he's supposedly like a brilliant, brilliant kid. And it's funny with offensive line, a lot of the questions you get, and Ronnie Stanley was dealing with this, and the questions were, you know, is he nasty enough? Is he mean enough? He seems like such a nice kid. Do you know Jonathan Ogden was the sweetest guy I've ever met covering the game, and the most smartest and, you know, like most eloquent speaker. Like, it's okay if the offensive line, it's all about communication. It's about 5 guys working together. And you could be nasty, you could be a Richie Incognito, you could be whoever you want to be, but at the end of the day, if you're not intelligent enough to know all the calls and be able to block and work as a unison with the 4 other guys next to you, it doesn't matter. So I don't know Garnett personally, but I hear great things. And yeah, if he's a science major at Stanford, I think he's a pretty bright guy too.
Yeah, very curious to see how that plays out. And then in round 3 and 4, we went back-to-back defensive backs, Will Redmond out of Mississippi State and Rashard Robinson out of LSU. And the fun thing there was they were back-to-back in the combine, cornerbacks or DBs 44 and 45. So alphabetical, they were lined up next to each other in the drills. And Redmond told me that it's a nice deal to come into camp with some fellow SEC players. So Redmond's coming off the ACL. Robinson hasn't played football in 18 months, but potentially good athletes, good long-arm cornerbacks, especially with Robinson being 6'1". Have you heard anything on how they might fit in here with San Francisco?
Yeah, Redmond people were high on, but the ACL knocked him down to the 3rd round. See, I gave him an A- because I wanted them to take a quarterback in the second round, or 3rd round, I'm sorry. I thought with Connor Cook sitting there, that would have been the right pick. And I like Cook more than Driscoll. Now, I know everyone else says Connor Cook belongs where he was drafted, and a lot of teams didn't have him even as high as a fourth-round pick. I am a Connor Cook guy. So when I look at that 49ers quarterbacks room, and Kaepernick's a question mark right now, and although Gabbert's playing well, to get another young arm, I thought Connor Cook would have been the guy. So Redmond, he'll be good. He's coming off an ACL. Everyone likes him. And then Robinson, I don't know. That's a complete wild card. That's a long shot, big swing. I don't mean to say long shot. I mean home run swing. So don't know what you're getting there, but supposedly a great athlete and a very physical, impressive body.
Moving on to the fifth round, we have Ronald Blair, who you – in your seven-round mock draft, had pick 69. So great value, according to the Peter Schrager draft board, to get him at 142 overall out of Appalachian State. He was number 49 in his college career, had 8 tackles and 2 sacks against Clemson. So you love that production against a big school. And then you had John Theus out of Georgia and Fawn Cooper out of Ole Miss, who played for Laramie Tunsil while he was suspended last year at left tackle. Any thoughts on those three fifth-round selections? Which one do you like the most?
Yeah, exactly like you said. I mean, I thought Ronald Blair – I thought he was a top 100 pick. I thought he was going to be a day two guy. So he slips all the way down to there. It's a good value there. Pass rusher. And again, I'd be lying to you if I said I watched a film on all these guys. I'm just getting it from what people were saying pre-draft. I get these scouting reports from different teams. And, you know, on multiple teams' boards, this guy was highly rated as offensive end outside pass rusher. So that is a good pickup there. And then anytime you could continue to load up on this offensive line, which I thought was bad last year, if you get Theus, that's great. You get Cooper, that's great. I mean, keep on loading it. Some of these guys are going to hit. Some of them aren't. I'm all for it. I would have not liked this draft if they went crazy and drafted, you know, 20 safeties, because that's a position you already have, you're pretty good at in that room. I don't think you needed extra running backs. You've got some running backs there. So I liked it because, you know, at some point you do need to build up that offensive line, and they did that.
Let's move on to the sixth round. We touched on Driscoll a little bit. He was a former draft pick of the Boston Red Sox, started at Florida, transferred to Louisiana Tech. His college teammate, Kelvin Taylor, the son of Fred Taylor, of course, we all know him, was the 211th overall pick in the sixth round. And then Aaron Burbridge, who you had going to the 49ers at pick 105, you actually get him at 213. Your thoughts on those three skill players potentially adding depth here in San Francisco?
I love Burbridge. I don't get why Burbridge fell. He was the Big Ten receiver of the year, the guy who won all Big Ten honors. I mean, just a talented kid who got the job done. So I love that pick. Driscoll, you know, everyone says he was the number one high school recruit coming out of high school. So hopefully Chip Kelly can come in there and kind of tap into that and get the most out of it. So, yeah, I hope that. And I guess who's the guy? Kevin O'Connell? Who's your quarterback's coach now, Taylor? I'm trying to think offhand.
It's Coach Day from Boston College and from the Eagles.
Came with Chip Kelly, absolutely. So hopefully they can tap into something there and get the most out of Driscoll, because started his career as like being thrown into the fire at Florida, transfers to Louisiana Tech, puts up big numbers, and then didn't blow anyone away like at the Senior Bowl. But hell, you get him that late, why not give it a shot and see what you can get him? I mean, he's certainly a great athlete. And then Prince Charles Owara is a guy that I was tipped off to. He wasn't a combine invite, but I was tipped off to him around Senior Bowl time. I've got a buddy who's a scout in one of the teams and does the Southeast. And he said, you know, they've got a tight end named Tyler Higbee who's going to go, you know, first few rounds. But they've got a cornerback named Prince Charles Owara who's going to go quickly thereafter. So anyone named Prince Charles Owara, I'm in on. I think he can be polished a bunch. I'm not sure if he makes your 53, but at the very least, he's an athlete and he is a burner.
Yeah, he's making the all-name team, so that's a good thing. 4-3 speed, put up 25 reps at the bench, a seventh-round cornerback. I mean, on paper, that sounds like the type of stats you want from a workout guy. How do you see the offseason playing out right now with the 49ers? You have some young players. You talked about building depth in the offensive line group. You have 3 cornerbacks now. A lot of great competition across the board, and now it appears things are settled there at the quarterback position. No trade was made with Denver, and they brought in Driscoll as a developmental guy, but you have pretty much your roster established at this point.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The whole Kaepernick thing came out at the combine, I guess, that his agents were going to explore a trade and they got permission to do that. And it was a whole circus for 24 hours because Balky said he wanted him and, you know, he's one of their guys. The one that got me, though, was when all the other media outlets were saying that a trade was imminent with the Broncos and the parameters, quote unquote, parameters were set. However, they, you know, Kaepernick wants to make his money, $12 million, and doesn't want to get paid $6 million. So there's a $6 million gap there. and that we haven't discussed which draft picks are going to be exchanged. So what parameters were there that were being put in? It felt like that was being leaked from either the player or from another place, because if you're the 49ers on that one, you're thinking, well, sure, we'll listen to offers, but you know, don't say that the parameters are set when we haven't even heard what you're going to pay him and also what draft picks we're getting back. So that one was seemed like a lot of smoke at the time when it came out, and it was right before Kaepernick had to show up to make his money. He does show up. Look, this is going to be an open competition. I think having covered Chip briefly with the Eagles, you know, it was never just handed to anybody. It was Nick Foles won that job, and then Sanchez, you know, got his starts, and then Bradford was traded for, and you know, after they had already signed Sanchez, they went and got Bradford. So it didn't seem like anything's given to anyone. And if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm looking at Kaepernick and Gabbert, and I'm looking forward to a summer where they compete and the best man wins.
These two guys are going to be competing, and you have Thad Lewis, Dylan Thompson, now Jeff Driscoll. You got a big room there. So it'll be fascinating to see how it all plays out. You can get more knowledge from Peter Schrager. He drops Schrager Bombs on Fox Sports NFL coverage. He's a senior national writer for Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at @pschrags. His podcast is great. Any other ways our fans can connect with you?
Yeah, I do. I'm on Twitter at @pschrags, and do the podcast. And then every Sunday, I'm usually at an NFL game doing sidelines for Fox. And I did one Niners game last year, not the best one, the one where you guys lost to Cleveland. but. You know, it's a new team and there's a new era on the way. I think there's reason for optimism for Niners.
And we also see you on Katie Nolan's couch from time to time, right?
Yeah, just the studio couch, nothing more.
Nothing more. All right, well said. So we appreciate you coming through, talking the Met Gala, the 49ers draft picks, and, of course, Prince Charles Awara, the steal of the 7th round.
Love it. Prince Charles Awara, get your jerseys now.
Will do. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, brother.